DW.
Yes, avocados are good for us, but it takes a lot of water to grow them and has led to problems in Chile, for instance, as we've heard earlier on the show. And then, of course, there's the issue of having them shipped around the world before they end up on our plates. So, can we still eat avocados? I turned to Ursula Hudson, president of Slow Food Germany and a member of the board of Slow Food International. Is it still ethical to eat the fruit?
Well, I think it's really tricky to say straight away yes, because actually it's not. The more we know about how food is grown, where it comes from, the more we should know on what we base our decisions. And avocados, yes, they have been hyped enormously as some sort of food that is very good for us in the last couple of years. And it has led to all these social and environmental problems. And I would say, not unlike with meat, no, we cannot eat avocados as we probably subconsciously did and go along with it. No, we need to know exactly where they come from, how they are grown, whether their way of production is socially, environmentally good or not. And otherwise, I would say less is more, an avocado at a time, but enjoy it, but don't take it for granted and don't take it as some food we can eat every day without thinking.
So how many avocados could we eat? Could an average consumer eat, say, per week or per month?
I think it depends really on the source of the avocados. And there are communities that grow them sustainably, but they are small. I can't put a figure on it, but I think we have to reduce massively if we belong to the group of consumers who eat them on a daily basis, because we think they are good for us.
Now, I must admit, I personally love to eat avocados too, but I don't want to harm the environment. So what can consumers like me do? What should we pay attention to?
Where it's grown, is the community a healthy one? Is it a fair price community? And also, does the environment in the community suffer or not? And I think there are some places in Europe, I don't know about the States, but there are some few places in Europe where you can grow avocados sort of environmentally friendly, and then they are in season only for a short time. I think another problem is that we think they are in season all the time because we get them shipped from all over the world, so we don't know anywhere when they are really in season, but this is a seasonal product that comes from different parts of the world, and then we should enjoy them when they are from these good sources and when they are in season, and leave it like we do with other food.
So you're saying the solution is pay attention to which fruits are in season and eat locally grown products.
Yes, eat locally grown and eat really not only locally, but locally can be also far away from where we live. But we need to understand the communities that grow them and put ourselves in a sort of positive relationship to them. So fair price, environmentally friendly, socially friendly and positive, and then we can eat them occasionally. But I think one of the big mistakes is that we think we have to eat them now all the time. I must admit I like them too, and the moment I learned about the disastrous effects of the avocados, I just thought, no, can't carry on like that. Every now and then enjoy it, value it as some very special food, and then move on to other foods.
It's not just the avocado fruit, though. Other kinds of food, so-called superfoods like quinoa and chia seeds, for example, they have also popped up in stores all over the world. How does this happen? How do these food items get popular all over the world all of a sudden when they were previously only known in certain countries or regions? Is it because people travel more and are more connected?
That might play a role, but I think that is not the first reason. I think the first reason that we live in a very, very strongly economized food system, and this food system needs to come up and pop up with new, supposedly new and more interesting things than we had before. And I think it has fundamentally to do with the fact that, unfortunately, many of us, and I do not blame the people, I blame really the system, are very disconnected from food, don't understand food very well anymore, not even in nutritional, let alone health contexts, and therefore we are very prone to being told this is good for you and eat this and do that. And because we also live in a time where the sort of self-perfection is something very high on the agenda. We have to be perfect all the time. We have to function. We have to be young. We have to be healthy. And we are all responsible for that. It is very easy to tell us if you eat this, then you achieve that. And I think there is a fundamental problem. And it would be very good if we get into a more, in a less stressful, less hyped relationship with food around us, because lots of these foods have nutrients that other food grown more nearer to us, more locally, has as well.
Is there a similar kind of food that sort of is just not as well known as the avocado, but has the same health benefits?
With the avocado, I'm not so sure, but with other superfoods, for example, I mean, we have wonderful kales and cabbages with very high nutritional properties, which is, of course, not as sexy as other superfood, you know, good old kale. But it is worthwhile looking into that and going closer to the food to us, also for the reason of transport. I mean, food harvested at the height of its seasonality is by default much more rich in nutrients and flavor than food that has to be harvested and transported refrigerated towards us.
Although I heard that kale is making a comeback now too in the sort of health conscious environment.
Very good that kale does, because it can be grown basically in all sort of rougher climates and all around us in our own gardens and even on balconies. We don't need to transport superfoods from all over the world and deprive actually indigenous communities, for example, like with quinoa, of actually their food. They don't eat the high quality anymore, the high quality food. Quinoa, they export it because they get more money, but then are deprived of the nutrients they really need. For us, it's all an add-on. We live actually in a sort of superfluous food world where we have the full choice and other people, particularly when it comes to communities, more indigenous communities that live in remote areas, they haven't got the full choice. They need the good quality food that grows where they are.
Your movement, the Slow Food Initiative, advocates good, clean and fair food. How can that be achieved?
Actually, wonderfully easily. The good is the sensory experience when eating food. So all five senses and the enjoyment of food. The clean is the environmentally friendly production. That is the production without the helpers of food industry. So a very clean, also traditional production of food, external input low, and so on. So a food production that leads us into a positive future for planet Earth and the environment. And the fair is actually the relationship between us and the other fellow human beings on this planet. And you can start doing that by being interested in food, in some sort of foodstuff, and really ask the question, where does it come from? Who has it produced? What are the living conditions? What are the environmental conditions? And then you are right on the track of being interested in food. And food, I always think, can really explain to us all how the world hangs together, how it's connected, how economically, environmentally, socially our world works. And you combine basically in good, clean and fair the enjoyment, which is close to us, very individual, but also the responsibility for the future generations and our environment.
So you're saying the consumer does have power?
The consumer does have power. The consumer can't fix it on its own because the framework, the wider framework, is set by politicians and by decision makers, and we need them too. But the consumer can think and should think that eating is a political act, and with every bit we stick in our mouth, we have made a decision on which food system we support. Is it one that is environmentally, socially, culturally sustainable for the future, or is it one that wrecks all our future and the one of the next generations? DW.